Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast. I'm Vanessa Walker, the managing editor of Money. Today, we are fortunate to welcome Australian Competition and Consumer Commission Deputy Chair Katrina Lowe to the podcast. Welcome, Katrina.
Thank you very much, Vanessa. Great to be here.
Katrina, the ACCC recently launched an awareness campaign about romance scams, which is an acknowledgement of how detrimental and widespread they are. Let's look at why, as well as how to protect yourself and the people you care about from these scams. If we can start at the beginning, what exactly are romance scams? How do you define them?
So a romance scam is a particularly pernicious type of scam where, in essence, the criminal seeks to establish a fake relationship in order to extract money and data from their victim. So, of course, in addition to ultimately experiencing a financial loss, victims typically also experience emotional devastation as they realize that what they thought was an exciting new relationship is in fact a fake and a crime.
Just how bad and widespread are these styles of scams?
Romance scams are persistently in the top scam types that are causing loss to Australians, and it is due to this significant financial but also broader harm that we did run a fusion cell focused on romance scams. A fusion cell is really a multi-stakeholder, time-limited task force that seeks to really zero in on a particular scam type to really understand how it works and to look for opportunities to disrupt the scam, but also to get greater insight into victims and how they come to be a victim of this crime, which can enable disruption as well as provide resources to support victims and their family.
All right. Now, I'm going to go back to a question about that a little bit later. But for now, how much money do Australians lose to romance scams each year?
So, as I've noted, they are persistently and have been for a number of years one of the scam types that causes the highest financial loss. Through 2025, more than $28.6 million in financial losses were reported to ScamWatch, and they can often actually have some quite high value losses that come through as part of these scams. There are two typical types of romance scams that we see. One of those types is really a vehicle to lure the victim into making fake investments, and they can involve quite substantial amounts of money over quite a short period of time. The other typology that we see is a much longer run scam. It can actually go over weeks, months, in some cases even years, where the asks will typically be more incremental and grow over time. And that is often the type that you hear people speaking about, where, for example, their new partner might have a very plausible reason that they're never able to meet in person. They might be located overseas, these sorts of things. And that will also be the vehicle via which these amounts of money can be extracted. So whether that's to help fund a move, to address a family emergency or other urgent need for funds, that is often the way that we see in those slower burn romance scams that the funds are extracted from the victim over time.
And is this mainly an online problem? Like one of the red flags is conducted online. It's not so much playing out in real life.
So we do know, of course, that many people these days do meet people online, and we often do see that these scams will begin either through legitimate dating apps with either fake profiles or hacked profiles. Another feature of these scams, though, is even if the person you've met is on a legitimate site, they will very quickly try and move you off that dating platform and onto an encrypted messaging service, because it makes it harder to detect the scam activity. There are ways that that can be done through dating apps that are not possible through some of those encrypted mechanisms, and that itself is another red flag. If you've met someone on a dating app and they're trying to move you away quickly from that dating app, that is a reason to be cautious.
Right, that's important to know. These scams, they involve many mediums, don't they? You might meet somebody in an app, they move you on to an encrypted app, there are banks, cryptocurrency, etc. What are these industries doing to help stop these scams from playing out?
One of the benefits of the fusion cell is we get a whole range of stakeholders together that might have an interest or a capacity to disrupt the scams. And indeed, it is learning how they work that can very often give us the tips and tools that we need to be effective in disrupting them. So one of the resources that we developed with stakeholders through the Fusion Cell was an online relationship help check. So that is a tool where a potential victim or indeed a member of their family has suspicions that someone may be caught up in a scam. They can run through these series of yes-no questions, and that will, in effect, give a risk rating for that relationship. We are very pleased to see that those tools have been adopted by a number of the participants in the Fusion Cell. So they are not only available on our website, on the Scam Watch website, they are also now being utilised by a number of the dating apps, and that is something that we are very, very pleased to see. It is, of course, important that all actors in the chain that have got capacity to take action in relation to these scam types do so, and we are very much looking forward to the switching on of the scams prevention framework. That was it was a piece of law that was passed in February 25, but is activated by the designation of sectors. So the first three sectors we expect to be designated by the relevant ministers are banks, telcos, and digital platforms. And each of those covered sectors will then have obligations to disrupt and prevent scams. And that will be about both the tools they deploy in their own environments to protect consumers, but also the intelligence that's shared between different actors in the system. One of the things we know from fusion cells is that a piece of information on its own can look maybe not very interesting or benign, but if you put those pieces of information together, you can get a really clear picture of what is happening, and that is a really important aspect of the voluntary efforts now, but under the scams prevention framework, what will be legally required for covered sectors.
So it's likely that one day if a victim does meet somebody online and they go through online, then encrypted app, then some kind of payment transfer, that each of those stages, there will be some kind of pop-up or warning so they stop and think twice.
How exactly some of these obligations will be deployed will be the subject of rules and codes for the different sectors, and they will set out requirements to be met. Those codes are still being developed. So it's hard to be express about exactly what the obligations will be, but certainly we will be both the general regulator under the Scams Prevention Framework and also the industry-specific regulator for digital platforms. So we will be looking carefully to see whether the code obligations, once they're finalised, are being met, but also importantly, whether the covered industries are taking reasonable steps to disrupt and prevent scams. So that the framework will operate at both a principled level and a specific level, which is important because, of course, scammers are very motivated and innovative criminals, and we know that they will evolve. As we get better at stopping one channel, we will see them move. So it is very important that there is a blend of both general and specific obligations.
So that leads me to my next question. In general, who are the perpetrators of these scams? And we talk a lot about prevention, about intervening. To your knowledge, has there ever been or is there any real chance of prosecution of these perpetrators?
So scams typically are a complex chain of actors, and tragically there is also a human trafficking element often to scams. So we are becoming increasingly aware and indeed increasingly engaged with international efforts, including law enforcement. Long gone are the days where, you know, these scams, I think perhaps the stereotypical images is, you know, two guys in a dark back shed somewhere. These are industrial scale organized criminal operations. So we are seeing compounds being established with car parks and accommodation and HR departments that are running vast networks of scams around the world. So this is a truly global problem. Tragically, some of the people who are working in those compounds are themselves victims. They may have been trafficked into those compounds thinking that they were applying for a legitimate job. People with IT and language skills are unfortunately highly sought after by the organised criminals. So it is a question of needing to get to the organisers of these criminal gangs. And whilst there is considerable international effort, it is important to acknowledge that this is organised crime with all that comes with that. So we work also with law enforcement, both here and internationally, to assist in their disruption efforts. And there have indeed been a number of instances where there have been successful raids of those scam compounds. A number of the people who have been trapped and tortured working there have been freed, and there have been arrests. But it is a profitable business, and these efforts are going to need to continue.
AI, has that accelerated the risk of scammers seeming real? And can you talk about how AI might shape or be shaping romance scams of the future?
AI is absolutely likely to be a challenge, and indeed is already proving to be a challenge in scams. In addition to being very expert exploiters of human psychology, scammers are early adopters of technology. To give you just one example of how that's proving to be a challenge, one of the tips that we have historically given to people to check for a romance scam is to do what's called a reverse image search, because we used to find that very often a scammer might utilize a profile in a number of different locations. And of course, if you're new romance, that photo turns up tagged to a number of different profiles, that is a pretty big red flag that you might not be dealing with a legitimate individual. But of course, with artificial intelligence and the capacity to generate unique images, that advice, whilst still important, is not as useful as it used to be because, of course, the AI can generate a unique image that would then defeat that reverse image search. So that is one example of the way in which artificial intelligence can really, as technology has already, really turbocharge the capacity of scammers to reach their victims. It is important to say, however, though, that we also utilize artificial intelligence in the fight against scams and will continue to look for ways to do that. One of the great capacities that AI has is to process large amounts of information very quickly. And that is obviously very valuable when we are seeking to extract pieces of intelligence, for example, from reports that we receive.
Now, going back to the question at the heart of this, who is most at risk of romance scams? Can they be characterised? Are there the common characteristics? Could you take us through that?
Look, absolutely. I mean, the first thing to say, importantly, is that anyone can be the victim of a scam. Scamming is it's a high numbers game, and they will typically make many attempts to throw out the line and see what nibble they get. And it is also important to say that scammers are expert users of human psychology. And in many respects, they are exploiting what are very natural, some of the most lovely indeed, human characteristics that we have: wanting to find love, wanting to provide for your family, feeling sympathy for victims of a natural disaster. These are all human emotions that scammers sadly are all too willing to exploit. So it is very, very, the reason that I take time to say that is that one of the issues that we know impacts scam victims, and particularly victims of romance scams, can be shame. It is really important for victims to know that they are the victim of a sophisticated crime, and anyone can get caught by that. Even highly expert people in the tech world, people in the finance world, there are very, very wide-ranging types of people that get caught up in these scams. What we do see in our data, however, is that there are some demographics that are disproportionately represented in the loss data that we see. And some examples of that are people from a non-English-speaking background, people with a disability, and also some of our older demographics. And these groups perhaps may be less familiar with some of the technology that are being utilised by scammers. They might be more isolated, or they might be finding it more difficult to make those human connections. So we do see, as I say, particular groups disproportionately represented in the losses that we see.
We have run out of time. You have been brilliant and handled it so sensitively. Thank you so much. For anybody who's listening, if they think they're currently involved in a scam or somebody they love is involved in a scam, what should they do now?
So it is very common, and indeed many of the reports we receive are from family or friends who might be the ones to spot those warning signs when the victim may be, as I say, caught up in the flush of what they think is a new romance. And indeed, love bombing is very, very typically a feature of these scams. They want to establish that emotional connection very quickly. So warning signs to look out for are exactly that they say they love you or they want a serious relationship really, really quickly. They want to move you off to another channel to communicate. They won't video call or meet in person, or if they agree to, they always cancel. They ask for money, gift cards, cryptocurrency, or bank transfers, or personal details. And there's often either an investment or an emergency that's attached to that. And they might try and isolate you also from your family and friends and others who might be able to provide you with support. So if you are in any doubt, if you've got some of those signs in your online relationship, we really urge you to try out the online relationship health check. It's available on the ScamWatch website. It's something you can do on your own, and it's going to give you a risk assessment and run you through a number of features to look out for. Another resource that we provide is that there are conversation starters there for family and friends. It's a really important conversation, but we recognise it can be a really difficult conversation. So those conversation starters are there to help you broach that difficult but really, really important subject with your loved one to hopefully help extract them from the scam. If people do find that they, you know, that relationship health check gives them cause for concern, do act quickly. The more quickly you act, the more likely it is that funds that have been transferred can be stopped or clawed back. And certainly if you're thinking of sending money, stop and do some of those important checks. And lastly, if you have sent money, report that to your bank as soon as possible. We also recognise, though, that there can be real emotional devastation that comes with these scams. And so we also really encourage people to draw on resources like Lifeline or Beyond Blue, because that loss feels very, very real.
Very important information for our listeners. Katrina, thank you so much for joining us. This is probably one of the most important topics that we've addressed. Katrina Lowe is the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission Deputy Chair, and we've been talking about pernicious romance scams. Thanks so much, Katrina.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for having me on to talk about this really important topic.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.